Lamed Hey, Amud Aleph, picking up on the second line, the last word. We had a long question, and we have four answers. Amar Rava. First answer is brought to us by Rava, or possibly Rabba. We circled the name. Sheyesh Edim Shenisrafa. You know what the case is? He doesn't have to swear. Why? Because he actually has witnesses who say they saw that it was destroyed. The whole concern of it might whip it out doesn't exist. Well, then, how does that fit into the Mishnah? Ihachi mehechi maisi la. The Mashkin, in case number two, if he's bringing witnesses as burned, how exactly is the Malva going to whip it out? So we have to refine this. Ella, I squiggle learning the Ella, Ella Maravashi, not Edim that it was destroyed, because then there'd be no chashash to take it out. Ella Amarav Yosef, I circled Rav Yosef, Sheyesh Edim Shenigneva. Oh, there's witnesses that it was stolen. Okay, well, still, even if it was stolen, doesn't have it now. So Saif Saif, the whole concern was that, oh, you never know, the Malva might take it out. Well, Saif Saif, Mehecha Maisa, where exactly is he going to get it from? Well, he doesn't have it now, but with some elbow grease and some significant effort on the part of the Malva, the Tarach, he could make an effort. Umaisila, he'll look into it, he'll hire a private investigator, he'll do whatever he has to do to search it down. Well, then, Ihachi, Kimishtava Milva, even if we're going to say it's the Malva who takes the Shvua, why don't we say the Lova can just as well hire the private investigator? Nami Litrach Loive Velasi. And we're not concerned about that. So Bishlama, we understand, it actually makes more sense. Who most recently had this item in their possession? The Malva. And therefore, Yoda, he basically knows Man Ka'ayil, Benafka Beisei, who went into his house, who came out of his house. He's like much more aware, and therefore he knows who the suspects might be. The Azov Etarach, and he'll go and he'll make an effort to Maisila and get it back. Ella the Loiva, true with the Loiva's item, but it wasn't stolen from his house. It was stolen from the Malva's house. Therefore, how in the world is the Loiva supposed to know where even to start to find this thing? Miyada, who knows from the perspective of the Loiva, Man Ayel Benafka Beisei de Malva. He has no idea who was coming and going in the Malva's house. Abaye, who we circled, is a third approach. Abaye Amar, Gezeira Shema Yitain, V'yomer Loyachar Shvua. Oh, Mitzasiyah. The concern is that maybe he'll make the claim, and after he takes the Shvua, he'll say, oh, I found it, and then that would be a big problem, because if he took a Shvua and he swore that it was worth something that it's not, that's what we want to try to avoid. Ravashi, who's a fourth and last approach, we circled Ravashi, Ravashi Amar, actually, Zenishba V'Zenishba. Both of them will take a shvua. Colon, Zenish Bashen Bereshusai. The Malva has to take his shvua that, no, oh, it's not in my possession. So the concern of him whipping it out is no longer there. Vizeh, and the Lova Nishba, he will swear, Kama Hayashava, how much it was worth. The Hachi Kamar. Now we have to kind of reread that into the Tanaic source, and this is how we would reread it in. Almost two lines. I put the right angles in over here. Not mi nishba, which what we had asked about a line and a half before the Tanaic source ended on the previous amud. Not who swears, but who swears first. Mi nishba techila. I double underline the word techila. Oh, so there it's the malva nishba techila. The malva is the one who's going to swear first that he doesn't have it. That it's not in his rishus, because if that wasn't the case, Shema Yishava Zem, maybe the Lova would swear first. The Malva would say, oh, look at that, I have it here, and that would be a big problem if it was worth something different than what he had just sworn that it was worth. Period. There's a question now the Gemara asks. It starts here and it goes down about seven lines. So first one line is Haya. Rafuna Bar Tachlifa Mishmei De Rava Amar. Reisha De Seifa. The Reisha of the Seifa. So the Seifa are cases 3 and 4. The Reisha of the Seifa is case 3. That would actually be a Tiyuvta l'Ravuna. That would seemingly refute Ravuna. What did Ravuna say again? Just refresh our memories. In the middle of the previous Amud, he had said that the fellow who claims that something happened to it has to swear that he doesn't currently have it. Well, let's see what case 3 was. So we quote case 3 for about 2.5 lines. I put the right angles in. Sela hilvi sani alav shtayim hayashava. The borrower says, yes, you lent me 1,000 for it. You lent me 1,000, and the mashkan I gave you was worth 2,000. Vahala amar, And the other fellow, the lender of the money, said, Loki, no, that's not true totally. Ela sela hilvi si chalav, true, I lent you 1,000. Sela hayashava, but what you gave me was worth 1,000. Well, in that case, he would be putter from having to take any sort of shvu, because he's basically a kofar b'kol. Essentially, Lov is saying, you owe me now 1,000. He's saying, I don't owe you anything. V'im yisla de Rav Huna, if what Rav Huna said is really true, that we make him swear a shvu sheinu b'reshusai, migud mishtava malva sheinu b'reshusai, since, in other words, if somebody comes to Beis Din to make him take a shvu, we have to really have something on him. But once he's already taken a shvu, to tack on a secondary shvu, so migu, since the mishtava melva shen brashusa, we're always going to make him swear that he doesn't have it. Lishtava nami, why don't we also make him swear a gilgul shvua? Gilgul shvua is the concept of once somebody's taking a shvu, you tack on another shvu. Kamahe shava, how much it was worth? Well, that is the question. Amar Ravashi, so Ravashi reports, Amar Yisrael Shmaisa Kameh to Rav Kahana, I said over this teaching and the question to my Rosh Hashiva Rav Kahana and Rav Kahana, Amar Li, and Rav Kahana said, well, you know what the case is over here? Tehei, this is a case of B'ma'aminoi. That which we had said in case number 3, Pater, you know why? Because the Laiva says, regarding the Malva, I believe him. That he says it's not in his rishus, he doesn't have to swear. Okay, well, if that's the case, then nehemne loiva la milva, nami baha. Well, if the loiva is trusting the milva, if the milva says it's rishus and he's not making him take a shvua, then he should also believe him when he says kama hayashova, how much it was worth. Well, no. We're talking about something, I don't know, the Rolex watch that the Lovas had for 20 years, and the Malva had it for a few days, and then it, we don't know where it is now. And therefore, the Lova thinks to himself, loikim le bigave, that the Malva, he doesn't really know. He doesn't have, an established relationship with this thing to know how much it's worth. Okay, well then, nehemne Malva le loiva, why don't we say that the Malva will believe the Lova when the Lova says how much it's worth, they came to the big ave. This has been in the Lova's family for who knows how long, many years, and he knows what it's worth because it's his thing. Well, in general, loy mehem and lay, the Malva will not believe the Lova. Well, one second. So do they believe each other? They don't believe each other. Maishna Lova, why do we say that the Lova, the one who's borrowing the money, de mehem lay la Malva, that he'll, in general, trust the Malva when the Malva says that he doesn't have it. Umayshna Malva, why would the one who had lent out the money, deloy mehem leloyva, that he wouldn't trust the guy who borrowed the money from him? And here we have an interesting conclusion. The basic, not that it's always true, certainly not as a general rule, but the basic idea is that somebody that the Lord has blessed with great financial ability, especially if he's lending it out to other people, is usually understood to be a more believable character than the type of person who needs others to come to them to borrow money. Lova, the Lova Mekayim Bei B'Malva, his relationship, the way he views the Malva is the Tumas Yishorim Tanchem, the Tumas with the word Tam, Elech Lefanav Yeh Tamim, be like the pure and perfect of the straight ones, Tanchem should lead them. Basically, the Lova looks at the Malva, he's a pretty straight, honest guy. Whereas in general, again, as a generalization, but Malva Mekayim Bei B'Loiva, as far as the Lova, as far as the Malva, what perspective does he have with this guy who came knocking on his door needing to borrow money? Like the continuation of that pasuk in Mishle, chapter 11, pasuk Gimel, Veselef Boidim Yishadeim. Veselef Boidim, Selef is the crookedness of the Bogate. Bogate is a traitor. Yishadeim will steal from them, will rob them, will plunder them. That's why the guy has no money, because he's probably not so straight. Bekitzer, the Lova views the Malva as being a more trustworthy, honest guy in general than the Malva views the Lova. Period. Ugav, there was once this guy to Ifkid Kippi Gabe Chavre. He deposited some earrings with his friend. Amarle, and I don't know, came back a week or two later and said, Havli Kippi, give me my earrings. Amarle, he said back to him, I know I took them from you, but lo yadana hecha oisvinu. I don't, for the life of me, remember where I put them. Okay, and therefore he doesn't give them back. Also, the comment of Rav Nachman, another Rav Nachman, so the case came to Rav Nachman. Amar Lehen, Rav Nachman said to him, well, kol lo yadana, anytime you have a situation like this where the guy's claiming, I don't know, that's basically negligence. Pshiusahi, zil shlim, go and compensate him for the earrings. Well, lo shlim, the guy didn't compensate the earring owner for the earrings. Also, Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman went and to enforce his din, agve la apadne mine, he seized his... Pane is usually like a large house. Now, I don't know if these were, 15-carat perfect diamond earrings that were worth $3 million and the house worth $2 million, but that's what the Gemara says. L'saif, what happened? Ishtach HaKippi. It turned out that the earrings were found, the Iker, and they had gone up in value. Kama. Am Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said that in this case, Hadri Kippi Limarayu, Vahadra Apadna Limara. Let the earrings go back to their rightful owners, and let the mansion go back to its rightful owner. Amar Rava. Now, Rava, who was a student viewing from the gallery or the viewing section, he says, "Ahave Yasivna kamei de Rav Nachman." We were in the presence of Rav Nachman, who Pirkin damav kitave. It was a daf yomi or whatever it was, and we were learning. Let's see, what perek is this? Yeah, perek. We were learning this perek, third perek in Maseches Bava Metzia. Ve'amri lei, and we said to him, well, one second, why should that be? Didn't the Mishnah say, she lei v'lei ratz lishav? So the Mishnah had said that if he wants to pay, then he acquires the kefel. In other words, if he wants to pay, he acquires whatever additional benefit comes out of this. And then, well, shouldn't in this case the additional value of the earrings that went up in price, shouldn't that stay with him? V'lo hadarli, and Rahman didn't say anything back to me. The shopper of v'lo hadarli, and it was actually a good thing that he didn't respond to me. Well, the Gemara wants to know, my time, or why? It sounds like a decent question. Well, no, it's not, because there's a big distinction between the Mishnah's case and this case. Hasam in the Mishnah, lo atrichei lebeidino, when the Mishnah said that if he pays and doesn't want to swear, that's basically, don't have to go to court or to deal with the court at all, and that's why he, so to speak, acquires the rights to that additional payment in the future. Whereas Hacha, in this case, Atrichei lebeinida, he hassles them to have to go to court. Semicolon. The Gemara asks now, lememer de sofer Rav Nachman de shuma hadar? Is that to say that Rav Nachman's of the opinion that a shuma, let's say someone owed money, and he didn't pay back, so they assessed some asset of that person and collected it, that if, I don't know, a week later, 6 months later, 10 years later, who knows, if he comes up with the money, they could just pay the money and get that item back? And why would that be? Well, says the Gemara, not necessarily that every shuma will be hadar. Shiny hasam, it's a little bit different over there, de shuma betos have. In other words, the whole shuma of the mansion was because he thought the earrings were gone, but the earrings weren't really gone, they were there. He had them, he just didn't realize where he put them. Tika have kipi miikara, because the kippies never went anywhere, they were just misplaced. Period. Amri nahardoi, shuma hadar ad trace yarchishasa. That there's a time limit on this, that if the money can be gotten together, then the person who had the item seized from him would be able to get the item back and pay the cash. Amar Amemar. Amemar says, Ani Minahardo, and I'm from the city of Nahardo, Sfirali, and I hold Shuma Hadaloilam. It's like open-ended. It could be 5, 10 years later, and still the item would be given back to the rightful owner. The Hilchasa Lachlamaisa Shuma Hadala Oilam, forever Mishum, not because necessarily like strict letter of the law says that, but rather Mishum Shinemar, because of the concept brought out of the Pasuk Vasisa Hayashravatoi, that it's the ideal thing to do that which is straight and good. And if the person wants to add him back and he's willing to pay the cash, great. Period. We have a few cases over here. Pshita, case number one, Shamule Lebal Chayv. Let's say there was somebody who owed money and he's not getting the money, and they assess some asset of the loiva, and he gets it. Vazaliu v'shama lebal chayiv didei. Now he takes that asset and has it assessed for his bal chayiv. So it's almost like A owes B money. A doesn't have the money, so A's asset goes to B. B owes C money, so B, the thing that he collected from A, goes to C. Amrinan lei. In that case, we will say to the third guy, even though he had nothing to do with the first guy, Lo adifat mi gavra da'asis mine. You are no stronger, more significant than the guy that you're coming from, the B guy. Basically, you have to take the cash and give the item back. Period. In another case, though, let's say Bob was owed money, Bob didn't get the money, Bob got some item instead, and then went Zavna, sold it, Orta, or bequeathed it to his descendants, or Viyava Matana, gave it as a gift to someone. In other words, the item to sell, or the item is given as a gift. Vada hanimi kara daita de ara nachas. Then for sure, those people, the person who bought it, or the person who received it as a gift, he was understanding that that land he was getting was land. It was never money. Velava daita de zuze nachas. And therefore, if the one who owed the money comes with the cash, he can't show up to this fellow's doorstep and say, okay, I got the money, I want to buy that land back. So what are you talking about? I just bought land. I had no idea there was a cash deal involved once upon a time with this land. Period. Case number three and case number four are sort of mirror case of each other. Let's say Shamu Lala Isha, a woman had lent out money, the person didn't pay back, they assessed some asset and gave it to the woman, the insva, and then she got married, or Shamu Mina de Isha, the woman had borrowed money, she didn't have to pay back, so they assessed one of her assets and gave it to someone else, the insva, and she got married, and then in either of those three, in case three or case four, Mesa, the woman died. How do you view the husband in relationship to these nechasim that the wife brought into the marriage? Bal b'nechsa ishtoi equals loikeach ave. He's like a loikeach, and therefore, in case three, loy mihader, and in case four, loy mahadrinan lei. In case three, he doesn't have to return the item or the land, and in case number four, they don't return it to him. Damar of Yosef b'chanina, b'usha hiskinu, in the city of Usha, which is one of the stops that the Sanhedrin made when it went from being in the Beis Hamikdash compound to being exiled and disbanded until hopefully soon in our days it will be reconstituted. They were metaking. One of the things that they were metaking there was Aisha Shemachra b'nichsei milug. If you have a woman, and now she's got her nichsei milug, that stuff she brought into the relationship. If she sells that b'chayi balo, or her husband's alive, umeis, and then she dies first, habal moitz b'yano lekuchais. The husband who had the kinyan haperos while she was alive, and still has the kinyan haperos, even if after she sells it, he would actually be considered enough of an owner that he would be able to seize it from the lekuchos. Period. Agbe ihu bechayvei. Let's say it didn't go through the course at all. I borrowed, let's say, $5,000 from somebody, and he came, and he said, all right, Horowitz, where's the money? I don't have the money. And I say, you know what, here, take this silver menorah. Okay. Then, let's say I get the money back. So can I go and to the guy who has the silver menorah and say, listen, I'll give you the 5,000, give him the menorah back. Pligi Baravacha and Ravina. Chad Amar, one of them says, Hadra, that the menorah has to be given back for the $5,000, just like a Shumas based in an official assessment that was made in the court system. Vichad Amar, and the other one says, Lai Hadra, you don't return it, colon. Manda Amar Lai Hadra, according to the opinion, says it's not returned. Why? Savar, because he's of the opinion, Hai Zvini Ma'al Yehi. Like, this was a full-fledged sale. The court didn't force me or twist my arm to have to give the silver menorah. When I gave it on my own, daha mi daite denaf shiagbe. I offered it on my own, and therefore, done. So I have the cash, that's wonderful. But if the guy doesn't want to sell me back the menorah, or give me back the menorah, and I give him his $5,000, then fine. Kama umanda amar hadra, according to the other opinion, it says, no, it should be given back. Savar, that's because he's the opinion, this is not really like a full-fledged sale. And that which the guy like agreed to give up the $5,000 menorah of Ladina and not take the thing to court, because of the potentially very embarrassing scenario of him having to come to court and not having the money to pay up a loan. Period. Umeimas achel piri. Let's say land was given to somebody who lent out money and a loan was defaulted on. When, if it's, let's say, a field, is he entitled to eat the peros from the field? In other words, when is it considered his that he can eat the peros? Three opinions. Rabba, who I underlined Amar. Well, michimatia adrachta liyadei. I don't mind liyadei. Once the seizure document has come into his hand, once, you know, 90 days has passed, and they officially write out the seizure document, that's when he can start in the payrolls. Kama Abaye, who I underline Amar, No, even earlier than that. Eidav bechasuma zachen loy. When the witnesses sign the adracht, even before it comes into the possession of the one who needs to hold on to the document, already those peiros are he's entitled to. Rava, who I underline, says actually a much later time. Rava Amar, michi shlimu yameach rezasa. Even though he has the actual adracht of the seizure document, let's say he hasn't found which asset to take yet, and it could take a long time. And then when he does find them, he has to come to the basin. The basin has to make like advertisements and see if this is whoever's going to pay the most for it. It's a much longer process, but it's a much later stage. Says the Mishnah, let's say I rented a cow from Avis Rent-A-Cow. So I rented from Avis Rent-A-Cow, and then my neighbor said, "Hey, Horowitz, can I like just borrow your car for a few hours? I need to just go pick something up." Or just call it a cow. I rented a cow from somebody. I'm paying rent, and then my buddy asked if he could borrow it. And then what happens when he's borrowing the cow? Mesa Kadarka. It just dropped dead in a normal way. No negligence. Or anything like that. Okay, what happens over here? It's ironic, but Yishava HaSeicher, underline the Seicher. So the Seicher who was renting it from the rental cow company, Shemesa Kedarka, he will swear that, listen, it died. And as a Seicher, you're not responsible if the cow dies. Ironically, here the Shoyel, who was actually in possession of it at the time, he... A shoyel, by the way, since he gets all the benefit, he has the highest level of liability and responsibility, would have to pay the full value of the cow, Yishalem, to the Seicher, which is ironic. The Seicher was, I don't know, he rented a $5,000 cow for $100 for a week, lent it to somebody, it died when the other person had it. He, the Seicher, doesn't have any liability to the rental cow company, yet the shoyel will have to pay $5,000 to the Seicher. Which is wasn't even his, but that's seemingly the way it would work. Amar Rabbi Yossi, I boxed Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, "Keitzad hala oisa schera beparas shachaverei? How can this fellow literally like do business? He paid a little bit for the rental, and he's going to get the full value of the paro of someone else. Ella taxor paro lebailim, the paro or the value of it will be returned to the rightful owners." That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Says the Gemara, Amar Ravedi Baravin la baye michti. Well, one second here now. Soicher b'maykani lahai para. What is the mechanism by which this soicher, the cow wasn't his. He was renting it from someone else. So why is it that we're looking at it as though it's his? Well, bishvua. Apparently it's because he took a shvua. That's what the Mishnah said, that the soicher will swear that it mesa kedarka. Well, if that's the case, v'nei malei maskir l'soicher, let the cow owner say to the Seicher, "All right, that's wonderful, buddy. Dal ant v'dal shvua seich. Why don't you just like remove yourself from the situation and remove your shvua from the situation? V'ana mishtein adin, and I'll prefer to deal legally with Bahade Shoyel, the guy who borrowed it." Right? That's like a reasonable claim. It died when he had it. Amarle, so says Abaye back to Ravedi Baravin, mi savris. So one second. This is all going under the assumption that Seicher, a person who rents an item and then it dies, b'shvuahu dekakanile, it's at the moment he takes the shvua that it was mesa kedarka that he acquires it. Oh no, it's much earlier than that. Mishas misahu dekanile. When that animal dropped dead, when the shoal had it, that's when he acquires it. So then why is he taking the shvua? Almost as like a secondary issue. The shvua is kei lahaf isdata shabalabayis. Like the owner of the cow is really upset about this, and I guess by the one who rented it taking a shvua that, hey, listen, you know, it's not my fault, it's Mesa Kedarka, that settles the mind frame of the cow owner. I'm Reb Zera. I circled Reb Zera. I put a number one in the margin. Six lines later, last words in the line, Rav Acha Midifti. I circled him, put a 2A in the margin and circled it. And four lines below that at the end of the line is Mar Baravashi. I circled him and put a 2B. Okay, let's see what they're saying. Now, Reb Zera has a bit of a complicated case, but it's unbelievable, the irony of this case, coming off of the Mishnah. Palmim says, Reb Zera, Shehabaili Mishalmin Kama Paras L'Seicher. Imagine, I own a cow, and I have some sort of deal or number of deals with Bob, and even though it was my cow, I can end up having to pay the value of numerous cows to Bob. Now, how's that going to work? Pa'amim, sometimes Shahabailim, the actual owner of the cow, who, as we're going to see, became a shoyel once or twice or three times on his cow, Mishalman Kama Paras Asoicher. Here we go. Hey Chidami, how does that work? So, Agra Mine Me'ayumi. Let's say I had a cow, and Bob says, Horowitz, can I rent your cow for 100 days for $100? And that's fine. So I rented it to him, paid the $100, and he's got the cow. Vahadar Shiley, and then, like, I really need a cow, and I don't have any. So I went, and I borrowed it from Bob, Tishin Yoimi, for 90 days. I say, listen, I really need it. Can I just borrow it? Like, I'll give it back to you after, you know, day 90, and you'll still have 10 days to work with it. And that's what he did. And then shortly afterwards, there's a lot of back and forth here, Bob shows up and says, you know what? I really, really, really need the cow. I'll rent it from you. Now, this is like the second time he's paying rent on the same cow, but it's a new agreement. Hadar agramine, so Bob rents it, tamnin yaymin, for 80 days, which means it'll still be 10 days by me borrowed at the end. Comma. And then, hadar shaylemine. Then I really, 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 really needed it. And I said to Bob, actually, you know what? Sorry, all this back and forth. Can I borrow it from you for 70 days? I'll give it back to you for the last 10 days. And then you'll never guess what happened. When the owner of the cow, after all this, had it, umesa, it just dropped dead, b'sayichimei she'ela, so while he was borrowing it. De'a kol she'ela v'she'ela, for each deal that he was, even though it's all the same cow, but for each time he was a she'el it, he's really responsible, even though it's his own cow. Mechayev chadapara. So he's chayev one cow, or the cow's dead, the value of a cow for each one. Amalei Ravachami Difti. Ravachami Difti says to Rav Zeira, excuse me, says to Ravina, michti. 1 second now. Chadapara hi. It's the same cow. I love the afka that was going in and going out, going in and going out. Afka, it was going out, mi schirus, from an arrangement of where it was rented, going into a situation where it was borrowed. Afka Mishela was going out of being borrowed, and therefore there should only be like one payment. Amarle says back, Ravina Tervach Midifti, Umi Isala Para Be'ena, Denemalai Hachi. That would be wonderful if you actually had the cow here, but the cow's dead, and therefore it's not here anymore that you would be able to say that. Like, if it was alive, fine, but it's not. Mar Bar Rav Ashi, who we circled, is a 2B approach. Amar, Ein Loi Aleyen Ella Shtei Parois. No matter how many times they went back and forth over here, there's basically only two cows. There's Chada de Sheila, one that was borrowed, V'chada de Schirus, and one that was rented. And it might have happened two or three times, but it's the same cow. Shum Sheila Achasi, the concept of the borrowed one is one. Vishum Schirus Achasi, and the concept, however many times it was rented, is one. Colon de Sheila, the one that had been borrowed by the actual owner of it, Kani Lagamri, that he acquired completely, and therefore he has to pay completely for that, for one cow. De Schirus, and as far as the rental arrangement, where each time he's renting it for a certain number of days, but then taking only 10 days, and then another long period of time, then only 10 days. Avad ba yamei schirus, however many days of time was left to lend it to him, to let the renter of it keep it. U mehadale le mara, and then it goes back to the rightful owner. Adkan.